Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Blessed and highly flavored, eh? Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And we have a saying in this house, it's a good day to die. That means good day to die to yourself. Amen? Yes, it's a good day to die. Praise God. Oh, go ahead, lift your hands to heaven again. Man, I just love the presence of God. I just love the presence of my dad. Oh, and Lord, we ask for your forgiveness of every time we've taken your presence for granted. Let us always acknowledge the presence of the Lord and embrace his presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. And let Jesus be magnified and glorified. Everybody said amen? Hallelujah. I don't want to interrupt what the Spirit is doing by taking an offering right now. But we will. So turn to Isaiah 43, please. Isaiah 43. Go ahead, turn to your neighbor, tell him this is your day to get it. Oh. Isaiah 43 in verse 8. Praise be to God. I want you to understand that we are a teaching ministry. So I encourage you when you come to grab a Bible, bring your Bibles, your notebooks, because you are called to teach. Paper does not forget, but you will. The world is in need of truth because the world is in a state of blindness and darkness, and we are the light of this world right now. And without the body of Christ being here, there'll be much disaster. It's truly time to give up our traditions, our religions, and our past histories of failures and successes. It's truly time to give up our past so that a new can begin. God holds nothing against us. He's a great forgiver of all mankind. The only one that holds everything against you is the enemy. He keeps you in the past so you have no future. But God has got a tremendous future for us. And there is a heart cry of the Lord who cries for his children. And I hear his cry say, come home, come home, come home. And in this cry of the Lord who says, come home, it's like the man, the prodigal son, who had it and decided to give it up. Because he always thought that there was something better on the other side. And he went and served the other side. And it realized it wasn't any better. It was actually worse. And he ended up giving up his inheritance. He ended up giving up everything. In fact, he ended up hanging out with the pigs and eating their food when he had everything at one time. But the enemy convinced him that there's no way he could go back, because he'd gone too far away. Finally, he got revelation. And he realized that his service to the world and darkness was nothing but bondage and discouragement and torment. And he figured, look, I'd rather go serve at my father's house, even though I had all the riches and everything, than to be out here with the pigs. And he got up and he started home. And the devil was tormenting him all the way home, saying, man, do you realize what they're going to think of you? You've done so much harm now. You have shamed your father's name. You have trampled the blessings. How dare you think that you can go home and ask for forgiveness? And he battled that all the way home. And he didn't get home yet. And his father saw him from a distance. And he knew his battle. And he said, I'll run to you. I'll run to you. And he met him. And he said, I forgive you. And he put a robe around him and gave him a ring and reconciled him. And he had a great supper and a great feast. And he accepted him just the way he was. That is the heart of the Lord today. That is the cry that he has for his people. Come home. Come home and learn. Come home and prepare for my coming. Come home and stop the foolishness. Come home and let me be your first love again. Come home to comfort and peace and joy and an everlasting relationship, because the world has nothing to offer. It has a false happiness, but the joy of the Lord is our strength, and in his presence is fullness of joy. And that's where your joy is at. So the call has come home now. It's time. He said, many are called, but few are chosen. The word called means invited. The invitation continues to go out. And we are carriers of the invitation. We are witnesses. In Isaiah 43 in verse 8, he says, bring out the blind people who have eyes and the deaf who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring out their witnesses that they may be justified. And let them hear and say, it is truth. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there is no God formed, nor shall there be after me. In verse 11, I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved, I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord. I am God. Indeed, before the day was, I am he. And there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it? Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I will send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives, the Chaldeans who rejoice in their ships. I am the Lord your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and horse and the army and the power. They shall lie down together and they shall not rise. They are extinguished, they are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. You shall not know it. I even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. These are witnesses who shall declare praise. There are end time witnesses that God is establishing right now. Again, this is not about religion. This is about relationship. In John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, how many of y'all want to be an end time witness? What good is it to gain the whole world and lose your soul? End time witnesses. In John chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was, and the Word was God. In verse 2, he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and what? Darkness does not comprehend it. Verse 6, read it with me. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. And that word believe means to follow. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. And he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. And because his own did not receive him, he chose another. And he went to the Gentiles who did not know him, and they accepted them. The word tells us eventually that there will be a jealousy, and the Jews will eventually see how God is favoring the Gentiles, and the Jews will end up turning towards God because of that jealousy. But there are end time warriors now who are end time witnesses, and we are witnesses of the true light because we carry the light. And we must be careful not to allow any influence of the world to sway us away through the lusts of the world, to the deceits and lies, to the deceptions, to the fears. We come from an eternal place, and we serve an eternal government called a kingdom, not this government. All the governments of the world are corrupt. That's just the way it is, because the ruler of this world is Satan. We are seeing everything change right now and shift. Things are being taken away. Things are being moved. Things are being crushed. Things are being narrowed. And the purpose of that is to force everything into dictatorship. It is happening before our eyes. If you don't see it, you're in trouble. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Let's go to verse, let's continue on. So in these areas of witness, he says something very powerful. He says in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become what? Children of God, to those who believed in his name. In other words, those who followed him. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So here's something about, there is this process first, before fulfilling to be a real true witness, we must first become a child. We first must become a son and daughter of the Most High God. That's a relationship where he becomes your father. You can't be a witness of something you're not related to. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16, would you read it with me? And it says, in what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, which means if you'll do this, if you what? Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. So these areas of touching unclean things, these are things that promote darkness. Anything that promotes darkness is unclean. Music, TV, people, fellowship, people, places, and things. Even education. There are things they teach in the school that is just plumb dumb. They lie. You did not come from an ape. I can guarantee you that. I mean, I like bananas, but that doesn't mean I came from an ape. And when I went to see my grandmother, she didn't look like no ape either. I don't have any pictures of my ancestors that look like an animal. Maybe when they used to drink, they looked like animals, but those were pictures I don't hold on to anymore. But again, in this relationship, we become his son and daughters. And he becomes our father. See, that's where there's that relationship. It's a love affair. And in this love, it's not about a religion. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you're right. Just because you read your Bible doesn't mean you're not going to hell. And because your mom or dad is a pastor or a deacon doesn't mean you're saved. You must work out your own relationship. He says you must work out your own salvation. Believe me, the Pope cannot save you. He has a hard time saving himself. Hallelujah. In 1 John chapter 3. So he requires that we come out from among them and don't touch these unclean things that contaminate us. Why? They contaminate us because they influence us. Then we begin to run from light. And we become a witness of darkness, no longer a witness of light. See, so many people just think, well, if I repent, I'm okay. Let me tell you, if you repent doesn't mean you're okay. See, there must be repentance with a true heart. To repent means to turn away. That doesn't mean I'm going to repent on Monday for fornication over the weekend. I'm going to drink over the week. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then I'm going to repent and God will forgive me, but I get to do it again. No. That's not true repentance. Repentance means to turn away. And because you're repentant doesn't mean you're free. Repentance grants you access to be free. And in 1 John chapter 3, is everybody there? Everybody okay? Starting at verse 1. Let's speak it together. Beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Ooh. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. In other words, there's no gray area. There's light, and that's that. Whoever abides in Him does what? Does not sin. And whoever sins has neither seen Him nor know Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. Again, sin means the presence of evil. And the definition of sin is a self-imposed nature, because you and I were born in sin. It's associated with a self nature, which is ungodly. It serves darkness. So when you and I sin, it's because the old nature, being influenced by darkness, has manifested and begins to react. See, you react from the old and you respond from the new. And in this, when we are a believer, it doesn't mean that you're made perfect yet. You're being made perfect on the process. You're going to make a mistake. In fact, you may drop a hammer on your foot and say something you regretted. But you repent. You turn away from it. And the Lord forgives you. Because it's something that you're not practicing. There's a difference of what you're practicing and what you're not practicing. Amen? So if you're practicing things that are unclean, those things are going to influence you and constantly empower you to move you away from light. That's why the Lord says, come out from among them. In verse 9. And whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his sin remains in him. And he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In other words, sin will not have dominion over him unless you've chosen to walk away from the Lord and serve darkness. God will never interfere with your free will. So many people go, why didn't God do this? Why didn't God do that? And he's saying, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Why didn't you run when I made a way of escape for you? All those people I sent across your path, why didn't you follow when they stretched their hands out and they said that they came in my name? Why didn't you answer? Then we had to go through hell on earth to finally get it. But praise God. We got it now. In verse 10, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother, again, or sister. Again, we are children. The first process that God requires of me and you to be an end time witness is to first be His child. Child, son and daughter. That is the first requirement. You are not required to be a warrior yet. All of this is a process, because you're not going to fight for something you're not in love with. Has everybody got that? You're not going to fight. I don't care if you say you know the Lord, you've been serving the Lord 20 years. If you're in love with Him, you fight for Him. And what you're doing is fighting for His presence, or else you really don't have a love affair. Amen? In 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So the first requirement is to be His son and daughter. The second requirement, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Is everybody okay? In verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Let a man so consider us as what? Servants of Christ. In other words, we are servants to the anointing. We are servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found what? Faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that you should be judged, that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. Again, so the first thing, the first requirement is child, sons and daughters, love affair. The second is servants. We are servants. We are to serve the Lord. In fact, your second requirement is to become a priest. A priest is one who ministers to the Lord. If you're not one who ministers to the Lord, you have no right ministering to anyone else. In fact, you can't even be a witness if you're not one who ministers to the Lord. Because your witness will always be nullified. Because the enemy, he has access to it. There's no protection to your witness. Is everybody all right? In Revelation chapter 1, we are to be servants. First is sons and daughters. The second is servants. In Revelation chapter 1, in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. He shows his servants things that shortly must take place. We're going to be talking about some things that are going to take place. We're going to do a series of things through the book of Daniel and so forth, so that you know exactly what's going on and who's in control and what's about to manifest. But we're not going to do that today. But you're getting prepared for it. So his servants, he shows his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Witness. Witnesses. So we are servants to the anointing, and he reveals things to come to his servants. Is everybody all right? Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's start in verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the trees were for the healing of nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall what? Serve him. And his servants shall what? Serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. Now, it's pretty amazing because the Antichrist is going to put his name on his servants' foreheads. Because it says, and those who do not worship the beast or the image of the beast shall be beheaded. But only those who have served the image of the beast, because they have a mark on them. That mark is known as 666, but you're not going to see 666. What you'll see is its Aramaic translation of Greek, which means in the name of Allah. Are you listening? Oh, how people are deceived. The world is deceived. They can't even see that the Antichrist army is building all around. And if you've ever seen, even on TV, what do they wear? They wear the banners that say, in the name of Allah. That's what that is, in the name of Allah. 666 is the name and representation that will represent in the name of Allah. Anyone that does not have that mark will be beheaded in that period of time. See, the devil seals his, and God seals his. But we are servants of the Most High. We are children of the Most High God. We bear witness of the light. They bear witness of darkness. They promote evil and death. We promote righteousness, love, and light, and eternal life. In Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Hallelujah. Now we know that 666 also represents man. The number 6 is symbolic to man, which would be one world order, one world religion, one world economy. Amen. But its true insignia behind all of that, its rule, will be ruled by the ruler of this earth and his military. in Luke 12, in verse 42. Let's speak it together, please. Luke 12, verse 42. Is everybody there? And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, that master of the servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and he will cut him in two and appoint his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare for himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more." Again, as stewards, we must be faithful stewards. We are stewards of God's money. We are stewards of God's things. In other words, if you think that everything is yours, then you are not a right steward before God. When we step back and realize that everything is the Lord's, and he has blessed us with these things. See, you and I don't own anything. In fact, this shirt I'm wearing right now says the Lord's Gym. That's where I plan on going after service, God willing. Even though I proclaim it as my shirt, I know that it was granted by the Lord. Does everybody understand that? I don't own anything, but I'm a steward of the one who owns it. So he's given me authority that I may proclaim that it is mine. But when I say it's mine, it's really not mine, it's his. Does everybody understand that? These are good stewards. Stewards of God's money, stewards of time, stewards of everything. Stewards of talents and abilities. Far be it that we should just squander things thinking it's okay. Let me tell you, when I purchase something and realize it was a wrong purchase, I repent. I ask for his forgiveness. Lord, forgive me for not being a good steward. Does everybody understand this? See, God always has things in divine order. If you're an individual that does not look at God's financial things in divine order, you can never be a good steward until it is put in order. God first. God first. Everything with the house of God first. God first. It's kingdom business, God first. If we're not God first, then he can't trust us. Does everybody got it? And then you won't be a faithful witness. You won't be an end time witness. How can you be a faithful witness and an end time witness if God's truly not first? You may say, "Well, I pray first every morning," but do you do everything else? Is everything else first? Is your time first? Is your finances first? Are your choices first towards God? Is everything according to pleasing God or pleasing yourself? These are the things that we must look at because he looks at them. Is everybody okay? Oh, so the first requirement is sons and daughters. The second is servants. The third is stewards. Stewards. Oh, God knows when we're grumbling and complaining. You know, when we grumble and complain, that means we're not grateful of what we have. What we're saying when we grumble and complain, "Oh, Lord, you didn't do enough for me." You think he's going to give you more? No, you'll grumble and complain just like those who are in the wilderness. They grumbled and complained until they died, and they didn't get any more. Stewardship, Colossians chapter 1. Aren't you glad you came today? Oh, hallelujah. I get people say, "I didn't mean to grumble and complain, but, so you're going to grumble and complain anyways, even though you didn't mean it." In other words, what you were saying is, "I know it's wrong to grumble and complain, but I don't give a hoot. I'm going to do it anyways. Because this is how I want to do it. It makes me feel better." No, you just fed that demon. That's what makes you feel better. Oh, yes. Colossians chapter 1. In verse 24. The best thing to do is expose darkness. You won't have to grumble and complain. Colossians 1 verse 24. Let's read it together. Is everybody there? "I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, and of which I became a minister according to the what? Stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, a steward is one also not only being faithful with the things of God, but a steward is one who goes against the mysteries of God. We are stewards to the mysteries of God, the hidden things that have been hidden. See, because if you're truly a son and daughter, if you're truly a servant, that means you're ministering to the Lord. That means God is releasing to you because he's trusting you with the things that have been hidden so you can express them. A steward. A steward is a steward to the mysteries of God. These are mysteries. Revelations that are being imparted to be expressed. End time things. They are brought by the anointing. In 1 Peter chapter 4. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 4. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 9. Hallelujah. Verse 7. 1 Peter 7. I'm 1 Peter 4, 7. Hey, listen, the air is just blowing. Give me a minute here. Let's speak it together. But the end of all things is where? At hand, therefore, be what? Serious. And be watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without what? Grumbling. As each one has received the gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with what? The ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory, belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In Matthew 24, good stewards. Matthew 24, verse 13. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's speak it together. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So we know if we're witnesses, we must be able to preach the gospel. Amen? So a true witness will preach the gospel. Why? Because we are stewards to the mysteries of God. We are servants to the Lord. We're actually servants to the anointing. Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And you're able to preach the gospel because you live it, not because you memorize it. Amen? You're able to preach it because you live it, not because you memorize it. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Would you read it? But you shall receive power when the what? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. We shall be witnesses when? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Why? So that you have heaven backing you up on earth. So that you maintain to be a witness. You are a witness of truth, the anointing. The Holy Spirit is the eternal presence, power, and truth. Everyone say it with me. The anointing is the what? Eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. We are witnesses. In other words, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Go to Ephesians 1. God's witnesses are always sealed. Again, the devil has his seal, God has his. Ephesians 1:12. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Ephesians 1:13. I'm sorry. Ephesians 1:13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So you and I are sealed. We are remnant of that is sealed. We are sealed to be witnesses. So everybody got it. In Revelation 7. In fact, the word tells us that there will be a specific time when we who are sealed with the Holy Spirit will be removed from the earth. Because right now we are the end time witnesses. The body of Christ is the end time witnesses. But there will be end time witnesses who will replace us. Amen? In Revelation 7, in verse 1. And after these things I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Now I want you to understand that these sealed witnesses will come forth after the body of Christ is removed. And these 144,000 witnesses will witness the whole world. They have been sanctified unto the Lord. They are alive right now. They already know who they are. The Lord has visited each and every one of them. They are in secret. They are prepared, and God is preparing them. And they are preparing things right now. They are here among us now. They are unmarried. They are sanctified unto the Lord. They keep themselves separated and hidden, but they will come forth. And there will be 144,000 of them all over the world that will witness and declare the gospel of Christ when you and I are been removed from the earth. Now, there will be two other witnesses that will witness to Israel. Their purpose is to just witness to Israel, even though that they will most likely be seen all over the world also. And that's in Revelation 11. These are end time witnesses. In Revelation 11, in verse 1, then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court which is outside the temple and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. And they will tread the holy city underfoot for 22 months, which is 3.5 years, will be the last 3.5 years of Revelation. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, which is another 3.5 years, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. In other words, they are calling down fire. These have the power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. But eventually they will be killed and they will be raised 3 days later, and the world will see them be raised because they are witnesses. Has everybody got it? You and I will be raised in the rapture and the removal of the body of Christ as a witness. These two witnesses will be raised. Most likely 144,000 of them will be raised with them. God will always leave a remnant on the earth, sealed. And then we will return with the Lord because the wrath of God will come to the earth. In Proverbs 14, end time witnesses. You sure you want to be an end time witness? You're willing to do whatever it takes to be an end time witness? Remember the requirements is child, son, daughter, amen? Servant, steward, then witness. Oh, glory. Proverbs 14. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together in verse 5. A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Verse 25. A true witness delivers what? Souls. A true witness does what? Delivers souls. But a deceitful witness speaks lies. So we see that there are false witnesses and there are true witnesses. The word tells us that latter day many will come forth as false witnesses. They will call themselves Christians. They will infiltrate the body of Christ and try and deceive many and try to take them out. They will form religions and try and take them out. And because they're going to try to remove an individual from having true relationship. And Psalm 27. Now let's go to 8. Psalm 27, verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Again, these false witnesses have violence. Their promotion is violence. They want to bring things in the area to bring confusion. They want to bring things in the area to cause division. These are false witnesses. But we are end time witnesses who carry the truth, carry the anointing, because we have a relationship. We are in love with the Creator. We don't say we just love him. We're in love with him. In Mark 16, in verse 16, and then I have one more verse. And to make up for the last time I closed too early. No. No, I'm only kidding. Again, this is the heart of the Lord today. In Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who what? Does not believe will be condemned. What's believe mean? Follow. Follow. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will what? Cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly or by no means hurt them, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Oh, hallelujah. Let's grow for it. And I want to close at Revelation 12. So you think the enemy wants you to lay hands on the sick? Think the enemy wants you to cast out a devil? Especially the one that's been in you, bothering you? Getting free rent? Amen? You're feeding him? He's loving it. He's inviting his friends. He has a party every time you sleep. Then you wake up wondering, oh, God, I feel hungover. Because you've been partying all night. Don't even realize it. That's a demonic hangover. I don't understand. I haven't been drinking or anything. Oh, you've been doing other things now. It's time to get rid of those demons. Revelation 12 and verse 10. Speak it with me, please. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. End time witnesses. There is a price to pay, but if you're willing to pay that price, you will die an honorable death. And I believe, truly believe, with all of my heart, that things are escalating very quickly. You're going to find a lot more things beginning to manifest in this country and globally. But we must stand for witness. You're going to find things at your job places. You're going to find more persecution. You're going to find more persecution from the government. And you'll find more persecution from those who are truly not sold out. There's a difference. But I encourage you to stand strong. We have a battle to fight. And we must maintain our focus and not be lured away by deception of this world. We are not pleasers of men. We are pleasers of God. We are end time witnesses. Again, what good is it to have the world and lose your soul? We all must stand before the King of Glory and give account. No one escapes. No one. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that the seed that's been imparted would be protected by the blood of the Lamb and grow and bear fruit for your glory. And that, Holy Spirit, you'll bring us to remembrance of your word today, that we may be more sensitive to the boundaries that you have set so we do not go beyond them. I want to thank all of you here for listening and hearing and submitting. I want to thank all of our listeners and watchers that are watching through the internet. And I encourage you to go to other teachings and our other website called eternallibrary.org. Learn so you don't get burned. And to God be all the glory. And everybody said amen.